You're listening to Band Sounds with Phil Corbett.
There are no stoplights in Kathmandu, just intersections. Tangled knots of people and steel and smog and noise all move on narrow dirt streets in separate directions at different speeds. Two lanes carry five lanes of traffic, punctuated by mopeds, unfazed pedestrians, and the occasional stray cow. Roads cut cursive curves around ancient temples, many of them painted with the faces of old gods, staring calmly over the chaos. Tucked between China and India, Nepal is home to some of the tallest mountains on Earth. The capital city of Nepal is Kathmandu, which is in the foothills of the Himalayas. And in Kathmandu, there is a lot of bands that play death metal. In a place where there are a lot of metal bands, it seems like there should be a reason why there are so many, you know?
It has to do with a lot of social stuffs and political stuffs. I'd say there's a lot of frustration amongst the youth. We don't understand why so many crazy things are happening in our country. I am Pratik. I play guitars in Binash and in Ugrakarma.
I met with Pratik, along with the rest of Binash, on the balcony of a tattoo shop overlooking the city. Both of Pratik's bands, Binash and Ugrakarma, are two of the biggest and earliest death metal bands in Kathmandu. Ugrakarma put out Nepal's first death metal album back in the year 2000.
Back in those days, there were, I'd say, not even a single band that was doing death metal. We were the ones who were doing it. So when we played live, the sound guys couldn't create the type of sound we wanted to create. So we thought that maybe recording an album, studio album, and giving it to them will give them an idea on what type of sound we want to create. It just so happened that it became the first metal record in Nepal.
When that album came out, Nepal was in the middle of a civil war. A Maoist group called the Communist Party of Nepal, mostly from the rural parts of the country, launched a rebellion to overthrow the monarchy. This was met with armed paramilitary forces for almost a decade. In 2001, the king, queen, and eight other members of the royal family were shot to death in the royal palace. The Nepalese royal massacre, according to government reports, was not an act of war, but simply a family dispute.
If Nepal's royal family is to be believed, the crown prince eliminated the king, the queen, his younger brother, and at least seven other members of his own family.
This started a downward spiral for the monarchy. The king's widely unpopular brother became the new king and then dismantled parliament. Seizing more power for himself, he held elections that were considered undemocratic, and because of intense pressure, he eventually reinstated parliament, at which point he was stripped of his power. In 2008, after 240 years, the monarchy was officially abolished and the country was declared a federal republic. Obviously, I'm summarizing all of this, but what I'm getting at is that the political climate has been rocky. The country has only been a republic for a decade, and in that time, they've bounced between constitutions, heads of state, and interim governments. And during that instability, a lot of problems have cropped up.
Like the dust, you could say. A lot of pollution. Nobody wants it, but it's happening. And the rivers are black, the air is dusty. Whenever you go to do some stuff, some official stuff, you get frustrated with the system and everything. So it's a lot to do with society and politics.
In a place where the youth are frustrated, that frustration has to come out somehow. And one of those outlets is metal.
The weather is fine, though. I went to Finland, I can understand that. We were thinking the same thing, you know, Scandinavia, everything is nice, so why are there metal bands there? Then you kind of see their weather and you kind of understand. So yeah. Weather-wise, we're fine. We're probably happy people. But there are a lot of other social frustrations.
Though metal is obviously a way to express angst, it's also an escape from it. Binoche plays a brand of death metal that is thrashy, fast, and heavy, but not particularly dark.
But we call it Ramailu death metal. Ramailu in Nepali means fun, so it could be called fun death metal. People kind of like to come to our gigs because they kind of have a family kind of experience. You're talking to the band when we're live as well, and even after live, we talk to our audience and have fun with it. So that's one part. And then there are some certain songs we try to kind of intentionally make it funny. It's getting the message across that when you say metal, don't forget to have fun with your life as well. You know, you don't have to be intense, too serious and everything. Yeah.
What is the difference between death metal and black metal? And I don't understand.
There are certain technical differences that a metal person would understand. But non-metal people would find it similar. Philosophy-wise, it's death metal is much more into like societal problems, war, religion, that kind of stuff. So black metal has a philosophy that they should always be about darker stuff.
That person that just asked the difference between death and black metal is, well, I'll let her introduce herself.
Okay, so I'm Deb Nalder, and I'm Phil's mom.
And what kind of music, Mom, do you typically listen to?
The Avett Brothers, Streetlight Manifesto, Against Me. I love Bonnie Raitt, James Taylor.
What do you know about death metal?
Nothing, except they growl a lot.
I traveled to Nepal with my mom. And she joined me on most of the interviews. When we weren't interviewing, we spent a lot of our free time exploring religious sites around the city.
We did go to both Buddhist stupas, temples, and Hindu.
Hinduism is the largest religion in Kathmandu, and Buddhism is the second largest. There is some crossover. Certain temples are shared by both religions, and some practices can even include traditional beliefs from the various ethnic groups in the city. It is definitely a melting pot.
Can you maybe talk about some of the religious elements? Because I think it's really interesting that there are, you know, like satanic bands in a country where Christianity isn't the norm.
Yeah, we don't understand that either. Why are there satanic bands in a non-Christian country, I'd say. For us, I can't talk about them, but for us, it's like we're not anti-Christians, anti-Hindu, or anti-Buddhist, or anything. We're just anti-religion, organized religion, you know? Some of the things that don't make sense. For the satanic part, we're not satanic either. So we just kind of detest the kind of practices that make no sense, but you're still have to do, you will have to do. In my home, at least, I've removed the religion part as well. Mm-hmm. Even though there's a lot of social pressure. So it's kind of twisted, but I've got it out. So at least from my family. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of trying to write about what we're practicing as well.
Kathmandu is old. Despite being earthquake prone, some of the city's temples have been standing for about 2,000 years. It's an ancient place with ancient stories. There's a demon on the stage. It's a hot night and sweaty bodies jerk back and forth, long hair violently whipping, and the demon has the same idea. It's whipping its own long hair, bigger than its head, and it's flailing, bouncing, and spinning. The demon's face is huge, and surrounding it is a group of percussionists, a man with a flute, and finally, an electric guitar. The name of the demon is Lakhe, and the name of the band surrounding it is also Lakhe.
It's like a demon, and after some years, he became a god.
This is Anil Dital. He's the guitarist and band leader of Lakhe. The demon Lakhe is a traditional figure in the Nawari community. The Nawaris are an ethnic group native to the Kathmandu Valley, and at least once a year, they have a festival worshiping this demon.
It started in the Nepa Valley. Nepa Valley means our Kathmandu.
And this is Uzan, drummer of the band and member of the Nawari community. A long time ago, he says, people were losing their livestock and children to demons.
And then the king of Kathmandu Valley and some wizard, they planned to call some more likely destructing demon.
The king and a wizard called on the gods to send a more destructive demon, big enough to kill all other demons.
Then someone sent this Lakhe demon, who used to feed on other devils who are really bad.
Lakhe looks like it's like a Nepali pure ethnic devils, you know. Pure ethnic devils.
In the yearly festival worshipping the Lakhe, the demon presents itself and dances in the streets, scaring away all lesser demons. It is backed up by a band of percussionists, and the average person walking down the street would immediately recognize it as a performance of the Lakhe. Anil and Uzan's band blends these ancient religions and ceremonial practices with heavy guitar riffs. And the band calls this genre ethnic metal.
Hello, I'm Anil Dittal. You are in my institute, Metal Institute, with Lucky.
Anil, when not summoning demons, runs a music school and studio.
We got lost trying to find the Metal Institute. We had no idea where we were, and a really nice young man helped us find the Metal Institute, and Anil came, actually on his motorcycle, came to find us.
We followed him into a house on a side street and down a set of concrete stairs to the basement. There were a couple of practice rooms with mattresses blocking the windows, which is pretty normal for a rehearsal room anywhere in the world. But what was clearly different was that there was no drum set. Instead, there were three percussionists, one with a large hand drum, one with a handheld metal cymbal, and Uzan with two big traditional floor drums.
And so, can you talk about the way metal sounds with, you know, traditional drums?
It's like it's made by natural, you know. It's made by hand. No machine is used, you know. It's like the skin are made of goat's leather and the natural woods, you know. It's not like no machine used, you know.
No machine is used. The drums are made of goat leather and wood.
It's like made by hand only. All the handmade, you know. So it's very different, and we get the very different sound. I think you heard it, you know, than the, like, in other drum, there will be the plastic skins, you know.
In addition to the physical drums being different, so are the drum beats. Many of Lake's songs are built around traditional rhythms. For instance, that is the basic drum beat, and then the guitar mimics it. And then they mix it together with the cymbals, and you get this.
I'm just creating a new genre. It's called ethnic metal with this instrument. And it will be the only one in the world to get the, this unique sound, you know. Yeah. So I think you are here for the unique sound, you know. I think if we played the Metallica songs and like Megadeth, anything, I think you won't be here to take our interview, you know. There was big earthquake in Nepal, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that time we had one show, you know?
Sorry, I don't understand. You had one show during the earthquake?
There was show, and that time Lucky is going to play, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was earthquake. And from that day, we haven't get any gigs, you know? And we are just like practicing and like in process of recording the albums.
In 2015, the day of a show for Lake, a huge earthquake struck Nepal. Almost 9,000 people died, and a lot of the city's ancient buildings and infrastructure was destroyed.
Yeah, it's affected for like 2 years. I know.
Yeah. It was really hard time, more than 8 months.
In the main square of the Nawari community called Bhaktapur, you can still see some of the rubble. Entire temples, homes, and monuments were reduced to dust and piles of brick. Some were rebuilt, but many others were abandoned.
Metal music is kind of about, you know, destruction, and it's about these really heavy things. And when you actually live through it, yeah, is that actually, a weird...
I don't describe metal music as a destruction, you know. Okay. People think as a destruction, you know.
And so how would you describe it?
It's only the music. It's a universal language, how you express your feelings, you know.
I asked this question a few times and usually got the same answer. The aggression was entirely isolated to the music and did not live outside of it.
I'm really glad that I got to meet the bands that I did meet, because they really did give me a different spin on death metal and totally different from what I thought. Very intelligent, professional jobs, just really great people.
I think, you know, that's the only way an art form, like, you know, you don't harm anyone. You just express, like, what you're feeling without harming anyone. So I think, you know, that's the important thing.
And listening to metal keeps us occupied, you know, and keeps us calm. And we are happy to be a part of it, you know.
Yeah. Dispose of our, you know, negative energy, like, you know, in a creative form.
On our last night in the city, my friend Ishan set up a round of interviews on the balcony of a bar. I spoke to a band called Fragments, another band called Screaming Marionette, and this band, who you just heard speaking, Asphyxiate. Most of the guys in these three bands were younger and seemed to be hungry, energetic.
Well, firstly, you know, I think a lot of people here are angry, and metal music, you know, kind of empowers them, you know, allows them to express themselves properly.
What are some of the reasons people are, like, frustrated?
Have you noticed, like, something off about this place? First of all, we don't have basic needs. Our government is f***ed up. The environment is f***ed up. So, you know, pretty much everything. We have every right to be, you know, a lot of reasons to be angry.
Walking back from the bar, I hop over big holes in the dirt road. Workers have been digging up the water system in an attempt to get running water to every house in the city. There are many citywide initiatives to solve long-running problems.
Electricity used to be a big problem, but nowadays it's been 1 or 2 years, it's been solved. We had big power cuts, like 12 hours, 14 hours during the day.
For the most part, people seem cautiously optimistic. Back on the street, motorcycles dodge the holes, too. It's chaotic, but it is working towards something new. Do you think you would ever listen to death metal, like, in a new light now?
Yeah, I actually think I would. I can't imagine that I'm just going to go turn some death metal on. I do think that I definitely came away looking at it in a new light, for sure. And even just listening to it now just kind of made me feel good. Like, wow, I know these guys and they're making art. You know, they're saying something here. So, yeah, so I do.
On the way to the airport, the taxi weaves through traffic at full speed. The sun is setting and the sky is bright red. A monkey climbs a big wad of power lines, shredded and tangled, and it makes its way down the narrow alley, swinging through an electric jungle. Below a bridge, a kid throws a rock from the front door of his house, and he sinks a plastic bag into the river and out of the last rays of sunlight. Those same rays catch the golden eyes of a temple, staring toward the mountains, filtered red through human smoke, rising from a riverbank crematorium. There are a lot of death metal bands in Kathmandu. Sounds is produced by me, Phil Corbett, and as of this week, M. Zhang. You might remember M from her postcard last year hitchhiking in Pacifica, California, and I am very excited to announce she'll be working on the show this summer. A big thank you to Anil and Ishan for making all of this possible. Every band that took the time for an interview, I wish I could have included more. Anoop Kafle from Roads and Kingdoms for some of the helpful suggestions, and of course, thanks to my mom. You can find the show on Twitter, iTunes, Bandcamp, and as always, our barely even a website, vansounds.org. The music in this episode was, in order, our opening song, Roots Connective, by Iklept Insan. Self-titled by Benash, In Transition by Gustav, Swagat and Benash Momo Pasal, also by Benash, Two Songs by Lake, Intraocular Injection by Asphyxiate, and finally, this song, Sitar by Anil Dital. I will post photos, videos, and links to everything on the website. And if you like the show, you can buy merch, you can leave a review, or you can just tell all of your friends. Thanks for listening, and keep moving. Mom, what's the difference between death metal and black metal?
Bah, bah, bah. Wah, wah, wah.
That's it. I did it.